Genesis chapter 49, verse 16. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be as a serpent by the way, an adder in the path, that biteth the horse heels, so that the rider shall fall backward. I have waited for thy salvation, O Yahweh. Gad, a troop, shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. Out of Asher his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties. Naphtali is a hind let loose. He giveth goodly words. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel.
By the God of your father who will help you, and by the Almighty who will bless you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies beneath, blessings of the beast and of the womb. The blessings of your father have excelled the blessings of my ancestors, up to the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him who was separate from his brothers. Benjamin is a ravenous wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, but at night he shall divide the spoil. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is what their father spoke to them. And he blessed them. He blessed each one according to his own blessing. Then he charged them and said to them, I am to be gathered to my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite as a possession for a burial place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah, his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah, his wife. And there I buried Leah. The field and the cave that is there were purchased from the sons of Heth. And when Jacob had finished commanding his sons, he drew his feet up unto the bed and breathed his last and was gathered to his people.
All right, any comments, any thoughts? Okay, I guess we go home, right? Now, you know, it kind of sounds kind of strange, right? So I'm going to ask you some questions, and you do your very best. I'm not trying to come out and make you look like you don't want to talk about. I want to know what you think, what you have been taught, or what has been taught you or told you, what you may think or may not think. Okay, you don't have to be your thinking; be what somebody else may have thought. And what? So about Dan, what is it you have heard about Dan? Absolutely nothing, huh? Oh my.
We've heard that he is not in the list of the 12,000 group in the book of Revelations. Therefore, he got lost along the way.
Okay. Kid, one over here.
Isn't he one of the ones who chose to put the tribe in on the other side of Jordan? Not bull.
Okay.
A number of things about Dan, at least that I recall off the top of my head. One of them is that Micah's idol, if all of you recall that story, Dan established a second, or helped establish a second priesthood independent of Aaron, highly illegal. He also attempted to avoid conflict with his brethren by traveling further north as the years go by. Traveling further north through, much further north into what we
call,
much further north. I passed Turkey further on north to avoid the civil wars that were occurring between the northern and southern tribes. He had his own issues, in my opinion, I use the word cowardice, inside of himself. But that's my personal choice of word. And of course, the serpent's tail, the serpent's pattern has always been symbolic in biblical times as one who is avoiding and going around, getting there the long way.
Okay, interesting.
I've been taught that also when Yeshua cast out the demons from the demon-possessed man, and he put them in the herd of pigs, that was the territory of Dan. And so they surmised that Dan had been raising pigs. So.
Okay. I had not heard. That's interesting. I'm not saying that's true or not. I have not heard that. Okay, first things first. What does the name mean? No one knows? Judge! Okay, I need to hear loud because I can't seem to hear you. Maybe because of the sound of the furnace is overpowering your voice. All right. And he says here, now remember, these are the latter days. So we're looking at the very latter days, and I'll answer some of your questions to understand a little bit because I have to go to the book of Ezekiel here about this. And we have here an interesting thing. And it says, he will judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. So he's not the only one that's going to be doing the judging. There'll be others who will do the judging as well. Okay. Now we know there's something, remembering that Dan was the head general, shall we say, that family that was on the northern, the north, right? He was the one in charge of the armies that's up north. You remember that one in Numbers, the 10th chapter? All right. So we have to keep that in mind. It's very fascinating. Now, the second verse, the 6:17, he says, "You, a Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an otter in a path or on the road that bites the horse's heels," the plurality here. So that the rider falls backwards. What have you been taught about that? What do you think about that? What is your thinking about it? If you've not been taught, what do you think that is? Now, you know, Daniel talked about the snake going different directions. This particular one, though, is different. He's attacking the horse. Why is he attacking the horse? To cause the rider to come down. Why would he do that? I guess he wants to attack the rider. Once the horse has bucked him off, guess what? The rider is now vulnerable unto him, and Dad will, in a sense, be the judge over the rider. You understand that? He is the judge making the judgment. Now, we'll talk about judge for a moment, because sometimes we have not a complete clarification of the term when it comes to judge. We'll backtrack a little bit here. We'll go back to judge first. And it basically means a ruler. All right. Go ahead.
Doesn't it say he's going to be a judge of his people?
Correct.
His people. Okay.
So we're aiming at something. He's not judging, quote, the enemy here. He's not biting the heels of the enemy. He's biting the heels to cause somebody to fall off, and then he makes judgment against that person. All right? You understand what I'm saying? But he's only one of them. So his kind of, quote, judgment is what kind of judgment? It's an otter. It's a deadly one. Right? An otter is a deadly snake. Right? So kind of get this picture in your mind of exactly, just not an ordinary serpent. We'll talk about the word serpent later. But just look at this and try to picture what it is that the responsibility, if I could say this, or the function thereof, or what Dan is supposed to do and accomplish toward the end time, in the latter days, as Israel said, in the latter days. Keep that part in mind. Don't think of that happened to him in the past, and therefore there is no more tribe of Dan. There's something that's going to be taking place in the very near future, But at the latter days, that's going to involve every one of these tribes and every one of the characteristics, quote, not characteristic of them, but the characteristic that is quoted here or clarified here from whom? From Israel, all right? Now, Israel, and I told this last week, personally to me, is a prophet. I have no doubt in my mind he is a prophet, one of the major prophets. He's not just an ordinary guy. He is a prophet. How do I know that? Who talked with him? Right, the eternal. How do you do it? Through dreams. Now, is Joseph a prophet? How do you know Joseph is a prophet? God talked to him through dreams. All right. How did Abraham? How do you know that Abraham is a prophet? Face to face. Really? I mean, you can't get away from the... And Isaac? Did God ever talk to Isaac? Was Isaac a prophet? Oh, no, of course not. Wait a minute. What did he say? He made a prophecy or a quote, not a prophecy to come to pass. For I'm a very, very, very strong believer that when you look at the book of Bereshit, we're talking about the beginning of something, and we have already been told, we'll go through this again when I have a synopsis of all of Genesis, that in the book of Bereshit, it also tells you the end. All right, we got to keep that in mind. It tells you the end. There's a prophecy that says that. So, we begin here, and I want to talk about the word judge. Now, we have an English word, which is really pronounced in Hebrew, and you'll recognize it. How many of you have heard of the term the dean? Dean. Dean. What's a dean? Yeah. What does a dean in college do? He makes judgments. So we have this English word called dean, and it's a Hebrew word. And it comes from the word of Dan. Okay? It comes from that origin, or the origin of what's called a judge, or a ruler, or one that has the final say-so. It also is a name that a judge has to deal with something. What does a judge have to deal with always? Biblically speaking, even. He has to deal with the law. A judge cannot make a judgment unless he deals with a law. Correct? So now we have maybe a little different viewpoint of Dan. That his job is, and he has to deal with according to the law. And it says here that Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. So Dan has to go to the law before he can make a judgment, or in this case, make a rulership over, or make a final conclusion of what to do with the rider. Now he attacks the horse, and over the rider comes off. What does the horse represent? I'm sorry? Power, strength, might. Okay, let's get more closer. Here, what did Job say about a horse?
He has no fear.
He has no fear. He's ready for battle, ready for war, ready to go to war. All right, so we're looking at this judgment which Dan has to make, and he attacks the horse that has no fear, and the horse throws the rider back off, and now Dan has to make a judgment about the person or the thing or that being or whatever it represents, has to make a judgment, and his judgment will be like an otter, a snake, a poisonous one. And basically in Hebrew, it means the one that attracts quick and fast and hisses at the same time. We'll get to that later on. But just understand that kind of terminology. So I'm just revealing to you or showing to you what the words mean. Now you can take it one way or the other. You know, what I do up here, I try my very best to find out what it says in the language and in this text of what it said to have a picture. And I had to go through some of these things and said, okay, it sounds like the bad news for Dan. Right? Okay, now, in the armies, it says in the book of Numbers, the 10th chapter. What army moves out first? What army moves out second? Reuben. What army turns out third? And what army goes last? Dan. So Dan is the last one to do, quote, the final cleanup. You ever heard men have to go in after the war and do the cleanup? The mop up? There's always the, we have in our world, the Marines. They don't mop up. They can plow right in and, okay, let the next come in and do some more damage and so on and so forth. But then there's this cleanup guy. He's got to come in and clean it up. You know, sometimes the last army, the last guy's got to clean up. Guess what they find sometimes? The enemy. Guess what they have to do? Kill them. That's their job. That's what cleanup means. You go in there and you find out, you hunt them down, and you do it. You attack them. Now, I'm not saying, I just want to put those in picture, in perspective to the tribe. I can't attack or I cannot accuse any of these blessings that Israel said to them as being corrupted, evil, wicked, and polluted. I'm looking at it by very, it says they are blessings. Okay, how could a Dan be given a blessing? Well, we have to kind of look at this thing and say, wow, well, that's pretty powerful, isn't it? Wow. My. All right, next. I want you to go, the word has to do with Dan, and by the way, it's unusual terminology. I want you to Genesis, the 6th chapter. Here's Genesis 6th chapter, the 3rd verse. Now, see if you can't find anything in relationship to a judge in that one. 3. Strive is right. The word strive is not like we're trying to fight and survive and trying to work on this thing. He is judging. He has to make a judgment that is going to bring about what? And he did shorten life, didn't he? As I am no longer going to do it this way. Now he puts it upon man to do it instead. He is tired. He is tired. When I say tired, he's not weary. He's not worn out. The fact that he can't, God does not get weary in the sense of physicalness. But when he had to strive or he had to judge, he had to make a decision, he had to make rulership, he had to become a melech and execute. Wow. Would you like to be executed by him? Because he may not return if he does. All right, now, let's go on. It's very interesting. Any more comments?
Are you done with Dan?
Not quite.
Okay, go on.
Because I want to go to Psalms, 9th chapter. Don't have to turn it, take any notes. Now this is about Yahweh, this is verse 7. Yahweh shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. By the way, do you think that God created his throne for any other reason? He did it. He's preparing something. He's preparing his throne to do something. Where do you find that preparation being carried out? Revelations? He's sitting there on the throne, and in comes this scroll. That is his final. He's finally concluded. I should say finally. That is where he's sitting there now, and he has made a judgment. He has made a judgment. And guess who has to carry out the judgment? The Son has to carry them out. Do you think the Son's going to do some really nasty stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Real nasty stuff. Now, keep this part in mind, because I'll finish here with Dan. In verse 8 here of Psalms, 9th chapter, and he shall judge that is sentence for or against, it's very clear there, the world in righteousness, rightly giving the sentence, he shall minister judgment to the people in or who upright. So judgment can be in your favor. But you better be careful and listen carefully to what his son has ever said. Yes?
The question just kind of came to me. I don't know if it's correct or not, but with it being a blessing for Dan to be like an adder and striking the horse's heels and causing the rider to come off, if he was indeed used in the last days as such to fight against the enemies of God, that is a blessing.
All right. It is a blessing for?
For righteousness' sake, for God.
House of Israel.
Yes.
All right. For the house of Israel. Right. Now, who's going to carry out the judgment for the world?
Messiah.
Yes. So we're seeing a picture here of what a judge does. Do you think the Messiah is going to come back? Do you think he's going to bite the heels, if I can use that word, of his enemy, and his enemy falls backwards? What do you think he's going to do with his enemy? Got to kill him. What I'm saying here, when you look at the book of Dan, about Dan, sometimes we figure the trying to characterize the individual person. But in the latter days, we're going to see something taking place. Because he says, in the latter days, this will happen. He's describing a prophecy, if I can use that word. He's describing what's taking place. Who's going to carry out the final judgment? All right, now, is he going to be like a what? A serpent. You got that picture? Is he going to beat all of the swords into plowshares? Going to get rid of the army, don't you? They'll never learn war again. Who's going to carry that one out? Somebody has to make a judgment. So we see a picture here. Now this is what I'm trying to picture. Because see, what did Yahshua say? What did Jesus say? In the law, it talks about me. And what I am, what I am going to do, and how I am going to carry it out, what I am, have is in charge that I am responsible for. We sometimes think it's not for God, it's not for His Son, it's for those guys, for somebody else. You understand what I'm saying here? Who makes the judgment? All right, now let's go on one more phase. We've got the serpent. Okay, what do you think about the serpent? Why is he called a serpent for? What did the otter, you said, do in the Garden of Eden? He brought forth death. He brought forth death for mankind. All right. Now, I'm not going to go into that word, but I'm going to go into the word waited. Now, remember that last verse? What do we have? I have waited for thy salvation. All right, you people who know this, what is salvation in Hebrew?
Yeshua.
What is salvation in Hebrew? Yeshua, not Yahshua. When you pronounce his name as Yeshua, you're saying salvation. When you pronounce his name as Yahshua, that means save. Okay? It's a verb meaning to save. His name really is Yahshua, or what we call Yahshua. Yahshua means to save, to deliver, to bring out of, to out of whatever it takes place. If there's a war, and the cavalry comes, and rescues you from the enemy. Guess what the cavalry just did? They Yahshua you. They Yahshua you. They saved you. They delivered you out of death. All right? Not out of life, but out of death. You're not trying to save your soul. All those cavalry did was deliver you from the enemy, right? No, we can't. We don't like to use that Hebrew word because it wouldn't work right, right? But basically, that's what the two words mean. One of it's Yeshua means the noun meaning salvation. Salvation belongs unto God. Yeah, that's a noun, not a verb. When you have it with a Yeshua on it, you understand what I'm saying? Two important, two different words to know the difference between two. But the word waited is a very interesting word. What do you think that word waiting means in Hebrew? The word waited. I have waited for thy Yeshua. I waited for thy salvation. Who's waiting for what? Is Israel saying, I'm waiting for your salvation, Dan? Or is it saying something else? Who's talking? Who is saying, I am waiting for your salvation? Why couldn't it be Israel? Israel has to be delivered. Israel has to come into the point where he is saved from what? The enemy. You understand that? He has to be saved from the enemy. Who is the enemy of Israel? All the house of Israel. The devil is. Out to destroy from the very beginning. And even today, the key thing in the devil's mind is, you look at the book of Revelation, understand the woman that is standing on the moon, and the woman has got clothed with the sun, and the woman's got 12 stars around her. You know who that is, don't you? All the house of Israel. Guess who went after her? The dragon.
Yeah.
The enemy. Now that enemy has to be stopped. The enemy has to be killed. The enemy has to stop its function. Does it succeed in getting some of them? Yes. So they wait upon, who's waiting on what? Is Israel waiting for thy, the creator of heaven or salvation to come for the house of Israel? All right, so I want you to look at these things from a different point of view. The world has, and I may be wrong, okay, I may be wrong. The world has these things of looking at the characteristic of these people and characteristic of the tribe, and we all think, I must be of Dan because I'm a judge. Or I must be of Ephraim because I am this. Or I must be I'm a Jewish because I'm this. What does the name mean? And what did Israel say and the latter days will take place? We have to pay attention to the latter days. Not history or what happened to them, but what's going to happen at the end. Am I making myself clear so far? On that point? So to gather means, the weight means, in Hebrew means, to bind together. To join together in a knot, in a rope, binding them together. I am binding. I'm binding for their salvation. Be connected. Be tied up. Not gonna let go. It means to collect together. All of the house of Israel, and Dan is one of the judges, or a picture of one of the judges. There's only one judge, basically, for all the house of Israel. And that's going to be the Messiah. And so we see here that he is going to waiting for, or he's binding together, salvation. He's not saying, I am waiting for thy salvation. I am binding together thy salvation in Hebrew. That's what it says in Hebrew. Does that make sense to you? How would you bind salvation? What do you mean? You bring together, you gather together, and you gather together. And you save them. In a state of beta, save of salvation. That's what Dan's all about. It's not the word waiting is really poor in your English language or whatever language you got. Collect together, to bind together, to put together, to unite. Elohim said, let us gather the waters under the heaven be, and there's this word, gathered together into one place. Where's that at? Genesis chapter 1, verse 9. How come they don't translate it? Elohim said, let the water be gathered together and wait together. That doesn't make sense, right? Same Hebrew word. Gathered. Why did he gather the waters together for? All right. And here, Jeremiah 3, verse 17. At that time, they shall call Jerusalem the throne of Yahweh, Yahuwah, rather, and all the nations shall be gathered into it. Why does it say all the nations will be waiting for it? Do you understand the depths or the purpose, what says there about the prophecy about Dan? Is it negative or is it positive?
Yeah, as I see it, it's like gathering is active. It's active, whereas waiting is passive.
Right. Oh, that's a good point. Good. Thank you for bringing that one out. Thank you for bringing that one out. Now, I already talked about salvation, right? You understand that word, but Yahshua and Yeshua, the two different words, what they mean? Now, you had something to say? Did you have a question? Did you have a question about Dan?
No. You covered it.
Okay. Thank you.
I did.
You do?
Yeah. I don't know. I asked Sharon if you mentioned it, but Dan's not mentioned in the...
Oh, yes.
Chapter 7
we'll get
of
there.
Revelation.
We'll get there. It's a fantastic... Right. Okay, let's go there real quick. So you can answer your question. I don't care what people think and what they say. I'm willing to look at what Scripture says. It had to do with another individual I went there to go to and find out. Oh, I hope I find it. Hope I got it. Ezekiel. Obadiah. Oh, Ezekiel. 48th chapter. Go to Ezekiel 48th chapter. Ezekiel 48th chapter. Now, this is about the temple. You remember the temple? The book about the temple? Book of Revelations talks about the Jerusalem of four, city of four squares, right? And there's a doorway or gateway on all those. How many gateways are there?
12.
Now, we have to figure out. I always wondered, okay, who's who, where's where, what's what? Well, Ezekiel tells you exactly, well, who's who, where's where, and what's what. It's not the way we think it is. Okay, let's go there. There's verse there. I would drop right down to verse 31. And the gates of the city shall be, after the names of the tribes of Israel, three gates northward. So the north gate is going to have Reuben, Judah, and Levi. Oh, that's strange. And verse 32, and on the east side, 4,400, and that's a number for, and three gates. One gate of Joseph, the other for Benjamin, and the gate for Dan. He's going to be there. All right. At the end, at the south side, it'll be at the three gates. One gate for Simeon, one gate for Issachar, one gate for Zebulun. At the west, it'll be for Gad, for Asher, and for Naphtali. The name of that city in that day shall be called what?
Yahweh is there.
Yahweh is there, Yahweh is there. Now, that means that all the tribes of Israel is completely gathered around in that city, including Dan. Okay, so why is he not mentioned? Because if we have, I'm not going to go to Revelation to try to go through that. It's real simple to my mind. Dan's not to be there for that particular 1,000 or 12,000 for a reason, a precise reason, because of what Dan, the picture of what Dan must do. That is, not Dan himself, but the characteristic of Dan must make a final judgment. And that final judgment is going to be what? Those bowls. And then God says, it is done. It is finished. Final judgment. Yes.
So you just said Dan won't be there for, what was it? 1,000 or 12,000? I forgot what
you said. Well, the 144,000. He's not listed amongst them as the 144,000 of the tribe of Israel who are going to always be around the Yahshua. Always be around Yahshua. The leadership. Whatever it is. Now, that's God's choice, not mine. I don't have a complete picture, and I'm going to try to get a big picture, but I do understand what a judge does. Judge has to make final judgment. Has to make final decision. And right now, when you read the 144,000, they're not there judging. Nor is it New Moment out there judging. 144,000 are just around the Messiah all the time. They're not judging because the kingdom of God is not yet on the earth. All right. Do I kind of answer your question a little bit? Just a little bit. I don't have all the answers. Believe me, I wish I did, but God had granted it.
My question was about Dan and the choice he makes in the book of Joshua to go on the other side of Jordan. Does that have anything to do with Dan's overall?
So Dan had that in him, or was that somebody else? Somebody else. Yeah. You're talking about somebody else. Not Dan. It wasn't Dan. It was somebody else. Try to get to Gad. Man. Sheesh. All right, calm down, Richard. Gad. Anybody got thoughts about Gad? What do you think about Gad? What is it Gad's all about?
Truth.
The what?
He says he's
the truth.
The truth comes against him. He comes against the hero of the
power. He's going to win.
Warrior.
He's going to win. All right, now. When the devil sends out his flood, what happens to the woman? And she's going to get some of her kids, or the symbolism of Israel, will suffer. And his four stars taken down, remember? Four of the tribes are taken down for symbolism of what they represent. Right? All right, now... I can't say this for sure. Okay, I'm not saying this for sure. I'm awful curious whether or not Gad's going to be one of those that'll be taken down at the beginning. But at the end, he'll come back. Why? There is such a thing called the resurrection. That's the reason why I know, even though four tribes or four of those stars are knocked down, I don't know who they are. I'm not going to try to guess them. I'm just giving you a possible scenario of where Gad is at. That is the nation of Gad, the people of Gad. But the final battle, who wins the final battle? What does it say here? What does it say here? It says that he shall, what? Overcome the attack at the last, at the heel, in Hebrew, at the heel, he will come at the end. He will win and he will attack the attacker that attacked him in the beginning. All right, play on words. Think about someone who attacked whom in relationship to the Messiah. Go ahead. I wish you had.
Well, there is a play on words here because the proper name Gad, the son of Jacob that's mentioned here, but the word for raid is a play on that. It's good.
Yeah.
So that in and of itself, that word for raid, that in English at least is translated as raid or raider, maybe some newer translations might say gang or something like that, is actually a play on his own name.
Play on his name. Now, Gad will attack at the final battle. He was attacked, right? Who was attacked? Now, remember, who was out to destroy the house of Israel? All right. Who do you think he's going to try to eliminate first? He did succeed in it. Book of Revelation even tells you about that he succeeded in the devil overcoming and destroying the remnant of the woman, right? No. Yes, that's what it says. He succeeded in overcoming them. He succeeded in defeating them. He defeated them in the point where they were in the point of death. Who's going to come forth, the book of Joel, and go and save a particular people first. The Messiah is going to go. He's going to be in the region of Judah. He's going to save Judah first and then save Jerusalem. Book of Joel. That's the pattern of attack. That's a pattern he's going to do. And Satan did succeed in killing the Messiah. Said, oh, no, we didn't. No, we didn't. No, he's killed him. If you don't believe he actually died, you have no hope. He actually killed, quote, salvation. He actually killed saving you. He killed the one who's supposed to come and protect you. Right? You see the picture? Huh? Well, you know, he's blinded. You know, that happens, you know. I'm only trying to get a parallel here, so you've got to see a picture of a history. Now, when Jesus said something, right? He says, in the law, it talks about, in the prophets, it talks about, all right, got to center our thinking how God looks at it. And by the way, is Jesus kind of making up the story because he needs to have something to back him up? So he says, by the way, it talks about me back there. Or is he really telling us the truth? All right. Most important thing, we either believe him or we don't. All right. So, let's go on real quickly to Asher. If I get to Asher, sheesh. All right, Asher. Kind of cool name. Cool. Asher. 20th chapter. And he wins.
Oh.
All right. Asher. Very interesting terminology. What it says, out of Asher his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties. Oh, he's a good cook.
So he's in charge of that's all.
It's a funny terminology, isn't it? Doesn't seem to fit, right? Well, I have to kind of break down a couple of words. This won't be to take too very long. Okay? We know that the bread shall be fat. That means be rich. And he'll give, and it says there, royalty. He'll give to Melech, delightful food. Now, Proverbs. Proverbs 29. Go to Proverbs 29. Verse 17. Same Hebrew word. What does it say? Correct thy son, he shall give thee rest. Yes, he shall give delight to thy soul. Now there's a song we sang, I delight in the Sabbath. Well, it's the same kind of Hebrew word here. It means, looks like he's feeding a bunch of food there in Book of Asher. But what is bread? Is bread what you eat, or bread has a representation of something? Has am I in the bread of life? What's the bread of life going to do? He's going to do something. He's going to give what? Rest. Remember last week, what was the word we looked up? And it said it meant, you remember last week? Huh? Shiloh, the word Shiloh. Okay, what does the word Shiloh mean? Delightful. Oh, not delightful, but peaceful. Not shalom, contentment. When Shiloh comes, that's what it's all about. We've read that about the book of Judah, right? So it's tranquility. Have you ever been in a state of tranquility? Now, don't go off onto drugs, please. I'm talking about being happy, contented, because things are delightful because God has blessed your soul and given you rest. What is Asher going to do? Asher's going to do what? Give you rest. All right? Ask Betty Doom. Huh? No cream puffs. Cream puff just makes you, don't want that. You have upset stomach, maybe other things coming out, but we won't go there. All right. Now, one more thing on Naphtali. Sheesh. I think I got it finished. I cannot get to where I want to go. Joseph and Benjamin. Okay. We'll have to do it next week. Naphtali, this is a funny terminology. Naphtali is a what?
No.
And he does what? That's funny, isn't it? One of these is it's like a deer, right? Okay. What do deers do? What is a prophet of a hind? What's a prophet? What is deer? What's it all about, this animal? Vulnerable. Wait a minute. What does it say here?
Holy
hind, let loose. In Hebrew, Naphtali is like a hind set free. Set free. Oh, that's different. Where does it go? And gives goodly words. Oh, now we have this Naphtali. What happens to him? Something comes out of his mouth. It's going to be goodly. What are goodly words? All right. Do you see what I'm talking about, where I'm going with this thing now? In Psalms 28th verse, 9th verse, the voice of Yahuwah makes the hind to calf and discovers the forest and his temple do everyone speak of his glory. What does that have to do with the deer? Everyone in the temple will speak of God's glory. What is Naphtali representing? One who's been set free. Or that which is free. What happened? And he does something else. He gives goodly words. Now, put you where you want to put. You can translate where you want to translate. In Psalms 18:33, he makes my feet. This is the I think it was, I don't know if it was David or not. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and sets me upon my high places. Oh, that's odd. All of a sudden, this deer kind of goes in the forest. He's free. At the same time, it has to do with a temple that gives God the glory. And then he says, oh, you've made my feet like hinds' feet and you set me high on high places. And Habakkuk, verse chapter 3, verse 19, Yahshua Elohim is my strength. And he will make my feet like hinds' feet. And he will make me to walk upon thine own high places to the chief singer of my stringed instruments. So you said praise, right? Goodly words. Those goodly words are going to do what? They're going to glorify who is in the temple. Now what did Jesus do? He said, I will speak of you. And the psalm says, I will glorify you. What did Jesus do in real life? Do you think he glorified his Father? Oh, unspeakable terms. Were they also, did he have goodly words for his apostles? Did he give them hope? Did he give them something they never knew it would ever going to happen to them in their lives? Did he even beyond their wildest imagination? Well, after the apostles got in there and they got 20 years, 30 years, 40 years later, they began to see this incredible Wonderful thing. Then we have this word that I'm not going to explain today, which is an old English word. And it's called the... Every Christian should know that one.
Huh?
Starts with a G. Gospel. The good news. So when Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, he was saying, I got some really good news for you. The kingdom's going to come. By the way, you got to repent of stuff before it comes, because otherwise it'll be bad news for you. That's the simplicity of the message. Do you think Jesus is going to come with good news? He comes to you and to me and those who accept him and want to walk that way. He's going to be the one that's going to praise and praise. Everyone in the temple will praise his glory. What did John say about Jesus? Remember the fish? Remember the fish? There's a certain number of fish he caught. It's the glory of God. Glory of Elohim. Glory of God is on the seashore. All right? Okay, we're not going to get any farther than this. Once again. I can't finish it. I'm going to have to finish it next week. I'm sorry. I'm trying to wrap all the book of Genesis up into a simplicity format. You know, I'm going to take one or two phrases out of the first chapter, one or two phrases out of maybe the third or fourth chapter. I can't. Second chapter, third chapter, fourth, more good amount of those phrases. And then I'm going to kind of jump real quick and fast, try to wrap up and give you a synopsis of everything I was talking to you about from the very beginning.